Welcome aboard, you people. It is the Starship Rocon Show with Anna DeVlanta, suffering another day of broadcast excellence.
With Biden saying he's the most qualified candidate to run for 2020, is that, I was listening to Kim's News, because Avenatti's out of the race?
Yes.
He's now confident that he's the most qualified.
As it turns out, of all the people who have announced that they wish to at someday become the president of the United States or mayor of Chicago.
Too many to count. 21 in the Chicago mayor's race.
Right.
21.
There will be at least 40 in the Democratic primary.
And they're all turning their attention on each other over the petitions right now, trying to see who's got what in the city.
Here in the city. Yeah. All right. So we'll get to that.
We will.
They're doing a ballot draw tomorrow, right? Isn't that? I mean, how do you? I think it's a little premature to do a ballot draw, don't you?
21 people?
I mean, there's 21 people, and everybody's challenging each other's petitions.
You get the sense that a few might not be there in a few weeks.
Right. So does Joe Biden want to run for mayor of Chicago? I don't want to confuse the issue here, but
no.
You know,
he's here a lot.
Two tracks.
He's in the Midwest. He's got local ties. So
yeah, sure. Why not? Hey, all right. So here's what we're waiting on for today. Just to clue you in, this afternoon, it's going to be chock full of action.
Mm-hmm.
We expect at any minute now, there is going to be a document that will be filed by the Mueller people. This is not the one that we're all waiting on. This is not like a report.
The final report or anything like that.
This is a fairly simple procedure here. Mike Monaco is going to join us in a little bit to explain it to us.
Mm-hmm.
It is it's a document that is given to the judge in advance of the sentencing of Michael Flynn. Remember him? He's like the one Michael we forgot about. There are so many Michaels in this story.
It's many Michaels ago.
Yes. So Michael Flynn has some, remember he pleaded guilty. And so they lying to Congress, right? An obstruction charge. So but he then started cooperating. Remember, he was cooperating, and then his son was tweeting out all this stuff about how this is a witch hunt and this is really bad.
Yes.
And it appeared that he was cooperating to help his son because they were going to go after his son, too.
Mm.
See, the kids. Kids are all involved in this, too. Don't bring your kids into the family business. I think that's what we learned out of this.
But aside from the sentencing memo, I think a lot of people are looking at this Mueller document as maybe providing a window into the Russia probe, because what kind of details or dots will it fill in
in
terms of where they're going and what kinds of paths they're pursuing?
Right. Exactly. So we're going to see that. So we'll be watching that to figure this out, to see what else is coming. And then there's going to be the sentencing on Friday. Is it Thursday of
for Manafort is Friday and Cohen. Two to drop on Friday. Cohen on the sentencing, similar to the Flynn one, and then Manafort, the Mueller team is expected to talk about why he scrapped the plea agreement, why they believe Manafort is no longer cooperating with them, and they'll lay out that sort of a case also. Sometime on Friday, it's expected.
They'll be handling that in the news department on Friday. I'm going to be getting drunk with Santa Claus Friday.
You don't have to worry about that.
The first Roel will not
be interrupted by that nonsense.
We are raising 1,000 toys for kids for Toys for Tots, and I am not going to stop doing our duty here to the needy children in the Chicago area and the disservice I do regularly to my liver. I'm going to do it all on Friday.
Perfect.
If you people want to talk to me about Mueller or Trump or any of this stuff, you have to wait till Monday.
Amen.
And the news department will just be handling it. I think Kim's going to be back here handling that.
Okay, good.
Right. Well, we're out there at the party. Isn't that right, Judy?
Judy will be out with us.
She will be.
Yeah. And then if they want to ask us a question about what's going on, I refuse to answer it.
Plead the fifth.
I will. As a matter of fact.
Give him the hand. Give him the hand.
I'm just giving him the hand. I'm not doing it.
Mm-hmm. Nope.
You're going to have to subpoena me to get an answer out of me about it, commenting on this stuff that's going on.
You got years before you ever.
I would love
convicted.
To hear you say the word subpoena after the Carnarble wagon rolls.
Yeah.
Those are tough words to get out.
I put an "iss" on the end of it. It's really not funny. I think it's funny, and it turns out the judge didn't think it was funny.
Nope. They don't have terrible good sense of humor.
No, they don't.
No.
Yeah. Yeah, change the last syllable. Mm-hmm. All right, let's do this. We're going to be joined by Ben Bradley. There's something else going on now. This code of silence trial that's going on. Oh. Is it related to the shooting of Laquan McDonald by the Chicago police officer Jason Van Dyke? Is a dramatic turn just happened in the courtroom. We will go to Ben and find out what is going on there. Tom Skilling is going to be here, as I mentioned. Mike Monaco coming up at 3:40.
Yeah.
To tell us what it is that we're going to be looking at here. And then in the meantime, did you see this nationally? Wow. How does it get crazier? Does it get... I don't even know what to do with this. The CIA director was up on Capitol Hill in a closed-door meeting.
Yep.
And the senators, including Lindsey Graham. And I don't know where Lindsey Graham... He's
stands
such a
on
wild
anything.
Card. I have no idea where he is anymore. I love the president. I love the president. I think the president's great. I think he's just fabulous. I love him. And then... We're gonna go to war with Saudi Arabia. Is basically what happened after he really came out of the meeting today.
So we don't have a smoking gun. We have a smoking saw.
Bone saw.
Bone saw.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's like, oh no.
Ugh.
So the senators who came running out, the Republican senators came running out of that meeting. Were like, yeah, Khashoggi was killed by MBS.
Willfully blind in order to believe he didn't orchestrate the murder is another quote from Lindsey Graham.
So now what do we do?
Right.
In the meantime, the president and Mike Pompeo were like, hey, and John Bolton, no, it's fine. Don't look over here. We got a big Saudi deal going on. And then the market took a pooper.
Boy,
down 800 points today. 283 on the NAS.
Turns out, I guess people don't really like when the president says, I'm a tariff man during the meetings with China, amongst other things. There's some, there's interest rate
right, and
fears,
the,
too.
And the Chinese were like, whoa, isn't that what we say? That's their state media said that they didn't come to any kind of agreement with us. See, this is where the president's kind of boasty, kind of making stuff up as he goes along. And trying to will his sentences to become truth and fact is not good on the international stage because the markets reacted.
Absolutely.
And then there's a question of why would he do that knowing that the markets were going to react? Some people made a lot of money on this, and some people lost a lot of money on this in the last day.
Right. If you stay in it, I suppose that you might not be affected by it. Things
but there could be.
Back.
But, you know, there is a question here, and this is going to be the next iteration of stupidity that comes out of Washington, is there's going to be somebody questioning about whether he said that intentionally to pump the markets up yesterday. And who would have benefited from that?
That's interesting.
So, and then the Chinese come out and they say, no, that's not what happened. And then, you know, everybody takes a dive.
See, what had happened was.
Yes. See, what had happened was. That's my Xi Jinping impression.
Very good. Excellent.
See, what happened was. All right. Let us now check in with Judy. What is happening at the bottom of the hour in the newsroom?
Well, as you've been talking about, stocks close sharply lower as trade jitters rattle investors. Hey, Bears fans, enter for your chance to win two spots on the all-inclusive Bears fan trip to Cancun, chicagotribune.com/monster giveaway, courtesy of the Chicago Tribune.
Ben Bradley joins us from WGN-TV right
happy
now.
Happy day on this gray December afternoon.
Don't bring it up. I'm going to be
it's
bringing it up
be a problem
with
later with Skilling.
Mr. Skilling. Don't.
Oh, that is a union violation at WGN. Mm-hmm. We are not allowed to talk about the weather unless it's with
that's
Skilling.
Right.
No, you're going to put me in a bad mood, which is even worse.
And he's already going to be in a bad mood when we talk to Skilling later.
Right.
So why be in two bad moods in the course of like an hour?
Thank you, Anna. See, Anna gets me.
Anna,
I try to control
sit
these
there
things.
With you for hours.
Friends, shut up!
Right. We spend more time in a day with each other than we do with any other human being.
Oh, man.
So, anyway, how's the weather?
All right. So, let's first of all, let's just talk about the trial that's going on. This is the code of silence trial that is going on at the Layton Criminal Courts building.
We're getting fascinating insight into what happens in the minutes, hours, and days after a Chicago police officer shoots somebody. In this case, it was Laquan McDonald. And this is the trial over whether or not officers engaged in an intentional conspiracy to cover up what went wrong. And the judge made a very important ruling today in allowing for some CPD emails to be read into the record, emails that show supervisors saying things that we now know, based on the dash cam video and other testimony, were not true at the time. Things that appear to be an attempt to not only clear Jason Van Dyke, but to make Laquan McDonald look like the aggressor and make the case go away.
You know, if you talk to some rank and file, kind of off the record sort of thing, police officers, what I hear is that these officers felt pressure from their superiors to do this, and extreme pressure to do that, to change their reports to reflect the narrative that they all wanted it to reflect.
Well, when you've got, you know, a lot of people saying one thing, it's hard in whatever environment you're in to be the one person who stands up and says, no, that's not how it went down. I think the bigger picture here, and the three cops who are on trial, two of them aren't even on the force anymore. The bigger issue, and I don't think it gets enough coverage, is there are still people in Chicago Police Department supervisory roles who signed off on the version of events that police initially gave as to why Jason Van Dyke shot Laquan McDonald. Eddie Johnson, the current superintendent, was in that chain of command, saw the video, saw the initial police descriptions, and said, yep, that description is accurate. Here's my signature. And he doesn't get asked about that enough. I should say he does get asked about it. You know, I don't know that we've ever had a good descriptive reason for the discrepancies between not only the initial account of the rank and file officers who were there, but also that up the chain of command, it got signed off on.
All right, more
and
to come on that.
We could see this wrap up. We could get to closing arguments today. The judge is making the decision, and she's indicating.
Well,
the
defense hasn't gone yet, have they?
There are signs we're hearing. We have not confirmed that the defense may not present a case.
Oh. Wow. Mm. All right.
Yes. Okay. So we've got that. Sean Lewis is in the courtroom for you today. We're also covering the teacher strikes in the city and suburbs that affect more than 15,000 kids, including the first ever strike at a charter school,
right.
A series of charter schools.
Mm-hmm. Ben, thank you very much. Appreciate it, sir.
Are you done with me? You want to talk about the weather, Anna?
No, I got to go.
Nice to talk to you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye for now.
Good luck to you, Ben. Judy's got the news coming your way from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom in 2 minutes. Yes, that music can mean only one thing. Mike Monaco, attorney at law.
It kind of scares me. I know. I'm like, there's going to be a judgment here. We might not like it.
Yeah. You should get your own judge's show.
Yeah.
You know, if this lawyering thing doesn't work out for you.
I remember Bruce Cutler was on the middle of a trial, and he got his own lawyer show in L.A., quit the trial to go in the show.
Yeah.
He was defending the director out there, the Spectre.
Oh, well.
The second trial.
Yeah.
And quit the show. Excuse me, I've got to go. I remember when...
Now, Bruce Cutler was a famed attorney. Yeah. Practiced mostly in New York. Yeah. And then he had this, you know, this...
Yeah, he defended Gotti three times, and there were three not guilties. And then it turns out that jurors were influenced.
What?
Adverse.
What?
Yeah, illegally.
Did it not work out well for Mr. Cutler, as I seem to recall, at the end?
No, he's okay. I mean, he never went to jail. He never got indicted.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But
does he still have a show?
No.
I don't think so.
No, he doesn't have a show.
He was an interesting guy. Mike introduced me to him, and he became a kind of a regular during the OJ trial.
I was local counsel for him here in a case, and he opened his briefcase up, and he had cologne and a hairbrush. And he didn't have that much hair, actually.
Mm. He had no hair.
That was it.
Did he smell of cologne?
Oh, he smell
good?
He smelled fine.
That's Cheesy DJ. Remember, he's got the Jack Daniels, the revolver, and the headphones.
Yeah, exactly.
Very different setup.
Yeah.
All things that come in handy.
Yes, exactly. I do. I could chill carry.
There you go.
All right, let's talk about what we're expecting here.
We're expecting the
any minute now
Mueller's team to come up with a report that indicates what Flynn has told him.
Michael Flynn
over the past year.
The president was running for office. He said, "You know, these are my generals." Michael Flynn was considered, one of his generals. One of the problems with Michael Flynn, though. Was Michael Flynn was a guy who was, like a lot of generals, they're loved, beloved, and be-hated all at the same time in Washington.
Well, you remember, he's the fellow who would scream at the Trump rallies, lock her up.
Yeah. He did have.
Which turned out to be a bit ironic.
Trump defender. He did, from the beginning.
Yeah, he did that, I believe. Not many times, but he did, in fact, do it. And there was another set of issues here. He also happened to be in Moscow, sitting next to Vladimir Putin at a television awards show, of all things.
Right, in 2015.
Yeah. Right.
And then he also spoke to his fellow Kislyak. Is that his name?
Kislyak, the ambassador.
Spoke to him,
in 2016.
Who CIA considers to be a spy, spoke to him and then denied speaking to him.
That seems to be the problem. That's where General Flynn might have Flynned up right there when he told the FBI he'd never talked to the guy, and he did. So that's what he's in trouble for. So, and his son was also, they were looking at his son as well. Now, his son has not been charged with anything.
Yeah, that's always a problem. We'll see what happens to Eric and Don Jr. about that.
Well, let's stick with Flynn here for a second. Right. Do you think that Flynn's son will see that if he cooperated in an attempt to keep his son from being charged?
That's not unusual.
Is that legal?
Of course it's legal. The government can cut a deal and give you anything of...
Would we see that in these papers?
You could see in the papers what involvement his son had. They may talk about his son's conduct in the papers.
It wasn't just that he met with Kislyak. It was the substance of what he talked about that he then lied to the feds about it, because he told Kislyak, you know, to refrain, dealing with sanctions from the Obama administration.
They had to hold off. Wait.
Hold off. Yeah,
we're coming,
you know,
there.
And so if that conversation happened when he spoke to the feds are saying he lied about that.
Absolutely. Yeah. So it's he's got a big problem. We'll see what happens. Will this report mention something about his son? Depends upon what his son did. If his son did something that's relevant to the sentencing of his father, they'll have something in there about his son. But most of it will be about what Flynn told the FBI and Mueller's team about his conduct.
Will it also detail if he knows anything about the other members of the Trump team? Would they go that far to say what kinds of information he has provided to the special counsel?
He could. The sentencing has, as Roe knows, he's very familiar with
in and out of the courts all the time. It's just bystander, right?
Yeah, they're sort of wide latitude.
I'm a court watcher.
Court watcher.
Yeah, I go and I watch fine attorneys at work.
And sometimes he's sitting at one of those tables.
One time, and I was a witness in a case.
They're wide latitude on what the prosecutor and the defense can say to the judge about the defendant's life and what the defendant did and how he cooperated. Now, what they may say that he cooperated fully and completely and truthfully, but not go into the details of it. Mm-hmm. That's what they may say.
What do we think we're going to learn here?
We're going to learn a bit more about what, you know, whether there was any collusion in terms of discussing.
Have not you heard the president? There is no collusion.
You're not reading his Twitter feed.
Why are you not paying any attention?
I have read it.
Yeah.
I have read it. And how about what he said the last 3 days about Stone and these other folks? It's amazing what he said. It's like he's bending over backwards.
Thank you for going to my next subject, which is... we're going to learn about, you know, how much collusion the Mueller people seem to think that there is out there,
right,
that they are trying to prove up, right? Is that what we're going to see? And in some cases, in this plea deal, we might actually see cooperation from Michael Flynn that indicates clearly that there was collusion.
They may,
right?
they may go into in detail to talk about what how he cooperated, what specifically he said. Although,
against whom he cooperated.
That's unlikely. It's unlikely they're going to go into that kind of detail. They'll probably put that in a sealed compartment.
Person one, person two, person three?
Person one, individual one.
Individual one, right.
Yes.
Yes.
Technically,
you've been individual two or three.
Oh, my gosh.
I remember.
And a civil complaint.
A civil complaint, nothing serious. I remember we were at dinner once with a friend of mine, and he has two other friends with us, and we walk in, and he introduces Roe to these two other friends. This is co-conspirator A and co-conspirator B.
Is it better to be individual one, two, or three? Or is typically one the worst?
No.
No.
Not just
doesn't matter. Just
chronology.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Let's go to the other. By the way, this story is also breaking that the attorneys general in Maryland and in Virginia are suing for the hotel records in Washington, the Trump International Hotel records in Washington, to see if the emoluments clause has been.
That's another amazing story about how the president has benefited by his presidency.
Yeah,
how much money has he made?
Well, and then I think that there is going to be such a landslide here of stuff coming at the president, and this story has been developing for days, and we'll and the attorney generals and all of that. So we'll we'll just have to see. But that's just another piece,
right?
So you've got now the Russia investigation coming to a head.
Yes,
you have this investigation of the potentially an emoluments. An issue of, where he was trying to actually get people to spend money or time at his hotel that he's benefiting from using the power of the presidency. Yeah. That's a separate.
Or Mar-a-Lago.
Right. And that's, and the thing is that these are very simple things. He could have done this by just throwing it into a blind trust.
He claimed he was going to do that, but never ever did.
That the kids were going to run it? Wasn't that part of it?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, the kids are, remember he had that all that stack of paper?
Yeah.
That he had, like, look at all this. It turns out that was just reams and reams and reams of blank paper. I think what's going to happen is that there's such an avalanche of his misdirection.
Yeah.
And there have been some lies. You don't want to throw that around very loosely. I think that's thrown around too loosely, but there have been some. And then yesterday, this is what I want to get to, the tweeting about Roger Stone and the other folks here. He's clearly indicating, Michael Cohen, he's a weak person, and he's not strong like some other people I know. He's talking about Manafort, and then Roger Stone, stays strong. Roger Stone has guts.
It's against the law to try to influence a federal witness.
So almost everything he's doing now is he's adding to his problems down the line.
Right. That's exactly right. He's tampering with witnesses. And now he's doing it publicly, just like during the election.
But you could do it publicly and still get charged.
Exactly.
I mean, if you went to a courthouse.
That's what's so funny about this.
In a courthouse, go, don't testify to that. I stood up, and not that I've ever done this, but if I stood up and go, don't say that.
I could help you. I could help you.
Don't hurt you. You'll be fine on the other side.
If you don't say anything, I could help you. I know. That's what's so funny. This president says everything out loud. He says it in public. And it's like, wait a second, Mr. President, you shouldn't be saying that.
Right. And there's a record of it, and there's really no other way to read it.
No.
Other than.
When you saw that, were you worried as a defense attorney? I mean, not worried, but did you think to yourself immediately, like, oh, God, if one of my guys did
that? No. When I saw what the president was saying, it's like, wow, you can't say that. Nobody can say it, but especially the president shouldn't be saying it.
Right. Because he's the president. He's the
president.
He can get you off.
He is at stake. He has interests in these
investigations.
Investigations, yes.
Oh my God!
Yeah, so it's
nice
it's
to know some people still have guts. Was part of that.
Yeah, that's right.
That tweet.
Oh God!
Nice to know. I make some other gutless worm meat bag dorks.
So this week also we have Manafort. The government's going to submit some report regarding why Manafort should be treated adversely.
Why he breached his cooperation agreement.
What he did to breach his cooperation.
What he said that it apparently wasn't truthful in breaching his cooperation agreement. And then it was also interesting there. His lawyers were talking to Trump's lawyers about that.
Okay, I want to talk about that on the other side.
Okay.
As we await here, at any minute now, we're going to be getting these documents.
This is very exciting.
I'm Flynn. Very excited. I don't know.
This is very exciting.
I don't know if it's exciting. I worry about the country.
It's stressful.
I don't want us throwing in with guys who bone saw up a reporter and then dip him in acid.
Oh
no!
I don't want us saddling up with Putin and worrying that he's going to get mad at us.
And that was not a metaphor. Your last
don't want to be in a situation where the president of the United States flies away from a one-on-one meeting with another world leader, in this case, President Xi from China. Emperor G is what we should call him because he's for life now.
Yeah.
That and says, don't worry, I cut the deal of the century. Stock market goes way up.
Yeah.
Then Xi today goes in the Chinese national media, they're like, there's no deal.
There's no deal.
And the Dow loses 800
points.
800 points.
799 today.
And that, someone's going to look into this and figure out if someone benefited from it close to the president when it was going up and going down. You know, that's a natural Southern District of New York kind of look, because that's right there, the New York Stock
Exchange.
Right in
the Stock Exchange, SEC. Yeah. SEC will be looking at it.
Yeah.
See who made money.
I know.
It is amazing.
He's not going to get out of this. He's making it worse. This is Butch and Sundance in Bolivia. You shouldn't be robbing the banks when you got away for the United States. Remember the last third of that movie? It did not go well.
Off the cliff.
All right. Stand by. Judy, I'm trying to calm myself, and it's really not working.
You might need a drink.
Oh, you have no idea. Judy's got the WGN news at the top of the hour. Tell us what's coming up.
Well, the prosecution has rested in the trial of three Chicago cops accused of covering up the Laquan McDonald shooting. Cook County Commissioner Bridget Gaynor, fresh off of being sworn in. She stops by the Steve Cochran Show tomorrow morning at 7:40 to talk to Steve.
Coming up, the stories that matter. Judy Pilak from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. Mike Monaco's with us for another minute or so here. And I just wanted to get some form of clarification here. On the at the end of this whole raft of things, if you were representing the president or the White House, and he started to try to pardon somebody in this,
that's a good question.
It could be politically ruinous. Could it be criminally?
I'm talking about criminally. If it's a case in which he has some interest or played a role, it would seem to me that the Supreme Court would say you cannot pardon someone in such a case, just as you cannot pardon yourself.
Are the kids going to the pokey?
I don't know. I don't know about Eric. Eric was certainly, Don Jr. had the meeting, knew what the meeting was about, lied about it afterwards, went along with his father, and this is sort of been confirmed that his father wrote the letter.
Yeah, they tried to pin it on that glamour girl that was working for them, right? The PR person.
Hicks. Right, Hope Hicks.
Yeah. My friend represents her.
What do you think? What kind of
dots? Hold on, we got to run. Sorry, Mike, thank you very much.
Thanks, take care.
Mike.
Nice
appreciate
take
it. Care. We've got the WGN News coming your way in 2 minutes. Bro Concho with Anna DeBlantis right here, 720 WGN. Tom Skilling mentioned something in his weather forecast here, top of the hour, that's of immense significance to me. I think you know what this is, Tom. I don't think I have to articulate this in any great way, but for new listeners to this program,
yes,
the clouds drive me crazy.
Uh-huh.
And it's this time of year. Can you explain why we get these kinds of days? We don't get this in the summer, but we get this in the winter.
Well, you know what it is. It's the coolness of the air. Colder air holds less moisture, but it also is easier to saturate the air when it's colder. And when you saturate air, you develop clouds and precipitation. So, you know, the cooler temperatures lead to the predominance of cloud cover that is so present all the way from October to March. December is historically our cloudiest month, but close seconds are January and November. So, it's kind of doing what it should do this time of the year.
We're not seeing the sun much here, Tom.
But on the other hand, there's a long extended sunny spell coming up and within sight. And that'll lock in on Friday, and we'll see
right at 3 o'clock, right as we are starting the first Roel show. The sun will come out.
It'll be out. Yeah.
Did you notice yesterday? I don't want to bring anybody down here, but yesterday I thought it was very interesting.
Huh?
When George H.W. Bush's casket arrived in Washington and arrived at the Capitol, and they got out, and the honor guard was, pallbearers, military pallbearers were taking his casket into the Capitol, to the rotunda.
Uh huh.
It started to get sunny. It had been cloudy all day there. And then the sun broke through right at that moment. Wow. It was just such a dramatic look because it was sundown. And it was, it kind of gotten below and crept across. It was that beautiful sort of winter twilight that you can get.
It was breathtaking to see those photos.
Well, remember when Tim Russert was his funeral, there was a rainbow that appeared across the sky.
Mm.
And, the instances like that make you wonder.
Yeah, they do.
They do
indeed. Did you see the picture of the dog today?
No, I did not. I'm sorry about that. It would break my heart to see it, but I can
the
imagine.
The dog came to the to the Capitol today.
Oh, my.
His full name is Sully Herbert Walker Bush is the name of the dog.
Yeah.
And Sully's only been with the former president.
Yes.
The late president. Since the death of Barbara.
Right, 6 months, so not a lifelong companion. Wow. And Slate put that out on Twitter yesterday and took the heat of the entire Twitterverse because they're like, well, why do you have to like act like this isn't a lifelong companion and that he doesn't care now and those pictures aren't real and the dog isn't really feeling that his master is gone?
It's only a two-year-old, right? I mean, the
2-year-old service dog.
Right, so the dog's, 6 months, that's a quarter of that dog's life. And that doesn't even matter, in terms of, we don't know what dogs really know and they don't know, but we reflect and they reflect our emotions and theirs.
They do.
And they do.
So to watch that today, you know what? I'm going to make Tom cry. I'm going to make Tom cry on this right now.
Hey, that's easy to do.
I know. I'm going to do it, though. No. Sorry. I got to do it.
You both cried at the Barbara Streisand concert. Remember that?
Barbara doesn't do it.
And you were a few rows away from each other.
Yeah, I know.
All right. I'm going to send this. I'm sending this to Tom. I want you to look at your phone because I want you just to look at this. This shot today is one of the most. I don't even know how, when I saw it happen in real time, I couldn't believe it.
I know.
It was just
heartbreaking.
It is, but it also tells you about the importance of that relationship between humans and dogs. Mm-hmm. I mean, sometimes it's better than the human to human relationship, right?
Well, and how about it in his particular case?
I see it.
Oh,
look at that, and he's got a little American flag jacket on and sweater, and
he's standing at almost full attention, but he still looks so just upset.
I look at our two dogs, and there are times we just had one of our little dogs had extensive surgery, took out these big cysts, and is doing fine. They turned out not to be cancerous, but I wonder. When you take them in, they don't know what they're going in for. And then when they come out, they can't express to you how they feel. And yet you sense that they actually do have feelings and they do have things that you read in their faces, facial expressions and all. But I can't even imagine what it must be like for an animal to suddenly lose somebody to whom the animals become very attached, and they do become
they know it
attached. Yeah,
yeah, they know when they're
totally
not there anymore.
Well, have you been sick before, Tom? You probably noticed this because when I got very sick, my dog laid by my side the same type of way and just looked like they were feeling the same sickness, and they take their emotion cues from you.
How true that is, and it really makes you realize why they have become. We call them our best friends, and they really are. I mean, the love they give you is,
unconditional.
That's the word I was looking
for. I saw a dog once licking someone's tears as they were falling.
Yeah. I know.
Because they're salty.
No, it's because
I forgot to fill the water bottle.
Gee. Thanks, Rose. That sure took that moment away.
Sorry.
Okay. It was mostly me he was making fun of.
Yeah.
The dog.
And you're right. I'll tell you, I'll cry privately when I get off the air here. That is a moving
powerful
shot.
Isn't it?
It really is. Mm. Look, I'm glad they brought the little doggy in. Now, that's so sweet. It's hard to look at that, but I... Wow.
Yeah, it really is. It's an amazing moment, an outpouring of
just raw love.
Yeah.
And it is as Anna says, unconditional love.
Yeah.
And it kind of communicates the essence of what's going on here, when we say goodbye to somebody who has been a part of so many people's lives. No question about it.
And, he was a, even though he was a one-term president and lost, he still was a beloved figure.
Yeah.
He was not a guy that people went, oh, that George Bush, look what he did.
Yeah, mean he is or something like that. Wow, nobody said that. And there's such a contrast with what's going on now in our political world. It's just, I think maybe... this amplifies our feelings like that because you think, wow, we are in a different era, you know, with social media and everything else.
I put that picture up on Twitter and Instagram right now on my account so that
people
can see what we're talking about.
I have not seen that. I'm so glad you sent that. I had not. I've been so busy here pulling stuff down, as I always am, but I somehow missed. I usually get a chance to see stuff like this, and I had not seen this, so thank you.
That's really something.
It's very moving.
So. Really is an amazingly, at Rocon, by the way, R-O-E-C-O-N-N, if you're not...
Who is he? Who is the
woman? Is he with the dog, Sully, is with a woman who is bringing him in. I believe that woman has something to do with the Walter Reed Army Medical.
Gotcha.
Center.
Because after he attends the funeral service, Sully will go on to Walter Reed and help other veterans who might need that kind of, that help. So he's so well-trained.
He almost seems to be looking up at her saying, now, what does all this mean? What's going on here? This is not good, It's just...
Right. Like, what do we do now?
Yeah.
Sort of the look. But when they had him coming in, he was in line. They had all these dignitaries have been stepping up. And the other thing that is absolutely... I mean, just I could cry thinking about it right now. Bob Dole, who was another great American hero.
Yeah.
And it reminds me of not only the greatness of the greatest generation, these two gentlemen. You know, Bob Dole was maimed in World War II. That's why he was unable. That's why he was held a pen, right, in his hand, in his right hand, because he couldn't, it was partially, it was
sure
decimated in Anzio, I believe it was, in that battle.
Mm-hmm.
He led this incredible life, and the Republican Party had many of these figures throughout the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s.
I know.
And you stop and you think about that level of heroism, and then how our politics have just so totally gone in a different direction. Not that they weren't tough, but they were. But these guys were at least honorable about what they were doing, and they were very. Deliberate about foreign policy because they'd seen the horrors of what had happened in Europe firsthand and in Asia firsthand in George H.W. Bush's case.
There's another photo you guys have to see, and you should post it too, Ro, of Bob Dole standing up from his wheelchair with the help of an aide. Saluting the casket of George Bush. And it's just a very, talk about powerful photos. Another one that can bring tears to your eyes.
They must, don't you wonder what in their private moments they think as they're looking at the world that we have today in front of us. I mean, it must break their hearts at some level.
Yeah.
For
sure.
Yeah.
I mean, the Bush family was well aware. But I think that it was very necessary that as George H.W. Bush was planning his own funeral, that he made sure that President Trump was invited.
Yes.
And had, as the President of the United States, it wasn't going to be one of those situations where, because, to Barbara Bush's funeral, that was it's a little unclear to me whether he chose not to go or he was not invited. And, because Melania went, of course, and Melania hung out.
Yes.
Right. With the Obamas, and it was, she almost had that look on her face like, take me with you. But there was, because remember they were like sharing a mint, there was a mint or gum or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And Nicorette, maybe, I don't know, whatever Obama's pulling out of his pocket. And it was such a, you have these moments, and you do, this is a very important moment. Now, by the time we get to this tomorrow, we anticipate that there's going to be fairly dramatic developments in the Mueller investigation.
Yeah.
And so we'll just have to see how that all plays out.
Absolutely.
It's just a crazy, this is a crazy time right now.
It is a crazy time. Well, she apparently, the First Lady, apparently attended the Bush, was it Barbara's funeral? And she reported back how nicely the family had treated her.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it come back with glowing reports about that. And
I think a lot of what the president does in terms of his, behavior, which is sometimes childlike in terms of his anger at people and the words he uses and what he calls them out for. I think a lot of it is for show. And I think he is, in a lot of ways, sort of like a 10-year-old, gets over it quickly. If you say something nice to him, he then lights up. He goes back to liking you. I mean, Kim Jong-un, little rocket man, became, I love him, right? So
the bromance is on.
Yeah. I mean, there's a way, there's a way. I think there's kind of a method to his madness. The whole thing is really just about trying to lever, trying to, like a wrestler trying to get on top.
Yes.
I don't know. Anyway, whatever it happens to be, this is a beautiful moment. This is a moment to celebrate an amazing American life.
Life. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. So. And the passing of a generation.
The world is much better and much safer, until about an hour ago, for George Herbert Walker Bush having been president of the United States.
Oh, yeah. I mean, think about the end of the Berlin Wall and, you know, how that could have, the end of the Soviet Union, yeah. How badly that could have gone had mm-hmm. not been
right.
treated properly. And mm-hmm. it was treated very properly.
Respectfully.
Respectfully,
and not
yes.
gloating.
No, exactly. 'Cause,
and he was asked to gloat, and he wouldn't do it.
No. That's so.
Really Very amazing sure. moment. All yeah. right. Well, Tom, we'll see you at the show on Friday. We'll
yeah,
talk to you tomorrow.
Look forward
we'll talk to
you to Thursday. It, Ro. And Anna.
Yes.
Look forward to seeing you guys.
Be exciting.
And we will gather in the sunshine.
I wonder if I can get Sully to come to the show. That would be the
Wouldn't
biggest hit in the history of
kind of detour on the way back to Houston, come
I'll
here first.
Tell you, I think Sully could write his own ticket if he knew how to write. You know? No
he needs a book. He already has a Twitter handle. But a book? A movie deal?
Yeah, movie deal. Right. Yeah, Sully.
I'd see that.
Oh, my God. It does make us. It makes this, it, with all great irony, it makes this such a human moment for everybody. It's a way to connect through to the emotions of this is through that dog. It's
very
really
true.
Amazing.
Oh, true.
Very true.
All right, Tom, thank you very much.
See you, Ro.
Appreciate
see
it.
Anna.
Tom Skilling.
Bye, Tom.
All right, let's check in with Judy. What's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
A body being pulled from the Chicago River.
Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN. Okay, we got a couple things going on in Washington, D.C. Aaron Katursky from ABC News is going to help us sort it out. We're anticipating any minute now that there's going to be this issuing of legal paperwork in Washington that will indicate Michael Flynn's involvement and cooperation in the Russia investigation. We thought that we would start to see this about 40 minutes ago, and we haven't seen it yet. Aaron, what do we know?
We think it's probably coming. There's a deadline, but it may yet be another hour or two, and we understand that pieces of it may be heavily redacted. So that would suggest that there's an ongoing investigation, but how revelatory this really is going to be, you know, who knows? But it will, as you say, detail the extent of what Flynn has been talking to the special counsel about and perhaps give us a window into, you know, where the investigation stands and where it's going.
So is this redacted, the heavily redacted piece, is that new? Because I had not heard that yet.
Well, that's why, you know, we have these chats so that we can share the information.
Aaron knows things.
Thank you. So this is a new information?
Well, we expect that there will be portions that are going to be redacted. Now, right. whether that, you know, how much, whether that's a significant piece, generally when there are redactions, that's an indication that there's something ongoing that the special counsel wouldn't want us to necessarily know about.
Now,
so
does the special counsel make that decision, or is that decision made at the Justice Department?
Generally, the special counsel has to sign off on major decisions with the boss, in this case, Acting Attorney General Whitaker. But whether this is considered one of those things, I'm just not sure whether it would be one of those kind of special cases where that.
But the idea of it, Aaron, is that it's a memo, kind of a precursor to sentencing, that sort of lays out some of the case. Or what is the idea of even releasing something at this juncture?
Well, you know, a sentencing memo has to give the judge a sense of whether the defendant is cooperating and whether the defendant is living up to his end of the bargain. Say, like somebody like Paul Manafort, it turns out wasn't, according
yeah.
to
that. Yeah, we're going to learn about that on Friday. Yeah.
That's the big one,
I think. We're doing our big Christmas show on Friday. It's the Big Toys for Tots Drive show on Friday. So, Aaron, I will be drinking and ignoring all the news on Friday. So you're going to have to handle that for me until Monday. Would you do that for me?
I'll do my best. All right. It's like your normal posture, though.
Yes, so, yes, that's correct. Thank you very much. We've only known each other 20 years. Hey, I want to ask you about the other big story of the day that is really kind of getting not as much attention now as everybody's focused on what's going to happen here with these emails, but or these documents from the Mueller investigation. But the RNCC, the Republican National Congressional Committee, apparently was hacked in the spring of 2018, and a bunch of emails were stolen. And now the question is, you know, who did it? What's it? It was just announced today, but apparently they'd been investigating this since April.
It's been several months. And in fact, the couple of top officials at the NRCC probably had their email accounts compromised for the duration of that time. So for several months. And we're told, in fact, that Speaker Ryan, the Majority Whip Scalise, the Majority Leader McCarthy, the top echelons of the Republican Party in the House, did not know that the systems had been breached until reporters started asking questions. So that can't be comforting. But no. The NRCC disclosed it today after Politico broke the news and said that there was an intrusion by an unknown entity. We don't know who the hacker is. But the speculation is it's probably state-sponsored, and if it was Russia, nobody would be surprised, or some other actor that would be interested in the American political process.
Really interesting, because hopefully now it will draw the attention of those in Washington who thought they were benefiting from the Russians getting in and playing around in 2016, that maybe it gets their attention that whether it's Russia or, as you point out, another actor, state or not sponsored actor, that maybe we should be taking this a little bit more seriously if we would like to have a democracy.
At the moment, we don't think that anything would have compromised the actual vote in the midterms. And look, the House Republicans lost, what, almost 40 seats. So it certainly didn't help. But there's information that was clearly compromised. And if you think about the kinds of information that might have been emailed about within the National Republican Congressional Campaign Committee,
oh boy,
could have been financial information, could have been poll information, could have just been gossipy bits on who's running a lousy campaign, things that they certainly wouldn't want compromised.
Oh, I can imagine there's a lot of this sentence being back and forth. When is he going to shut up?
It's interesting, too. They had the same cybersecurity firm as the DNC did that got hacked back in 2016.
I think we got to relook at those guys now, don't we?
I would. If they do a bid the next time around, I would sort of consider some other options, maybe.
And it does, you know, again, raise questions about the integrity of these systems, who's being used. We know that there were a couple of different firms that the NRCC had employed, and we think it might have been one of those firms that first discovered the breach. And clearly there was some consternation about it, because they ended up hiring a big Washington law firm, Covington & Burling. They ended up hiring a public relations firm to help deal with the fallout. And those folks were put to the test certainly today as they, you know, issued statements about the hack.
Oh man, what a... what crazy times we live in.
Mm-hmm.
But what a time to be a reporter, right?
There's some things, you know, to discuss. And I think, you know, more to learn.
Yeah, that's right, Aaron Katursky. All right, thank you, my friend. Appreciate
it. Thanks, Aaron.
See you, pal.
All right. There he goes. Aaron Katursky, ABC News.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm just now he said heavily redacted. I just imagine that big new attorney general dude, the acting attorney general.
Yeah.
The guy looks like a refrigerator with a head.
He does. He totally does.
One of those old school white refrigerators, though. You know, it's not like a stainless steel refrigerator. You know, like the kind your parents had, you know, the white, big white one.
Which is now the beer fridge in everybody's garage.
Right, like the big Frigidaire. It's got the top and the bottom, not side by side.
And it's not white anymore. It's like yellow.
Right. The top is the freezer. That's where his head is. And then the bottom is
There's like stickers and weird fridge magnets on there that have been there for like 20 years.
But it's made kind of out of vinyl on the outside. Right, so it's got, and that apparently was also part of keeping it cold because it was covered in vinyl. I don't know.
You have like a Bears schedule magnet from 20 years ago that you just kind of left on the side of it.
Won't come off.
Like a promotional giveaway you threw on your beer fridge.
Sometimes those get stuck.
Houston Oilers. Who are the Houston Oilers?
St. Right. Louis Rams.
The
weird stickers on there.
That's weird. Yeah. Exactly. So that's what that guy looks like. I just imagine him like going through and going, all right, we're going to take that part out. No, wait, we got to take that part out.
Can't have that get out there.
No, I can't have that. No.
And that fridge is strictly for frozen pizzas and beer now. That's all that fridge holds.
Isn't it funny that the freezer side, though, was it sort of an empty cavernous box with all this frost and snow inside of it.
And you can fit like nothing in there.
Right.
It's so small and narrow.
And everything always sort of had, the pizza boxes had the snow on it when you took them out.
Stuck.
The frost just grew. It just kept swallowing everything you put in there.
Right.
You know what my mother, though, found when my grandmother died, though? Was frozen cash.
Was a thing, wasn't it?
Yeah. Seriously?
That was a thing that you used to put some cash. It wasn't under the mattress. It was in the freezer.
You put it in tinfoil so it looked like it was meat, or something. Like it was steaks or chops or something.
Why? Yeah. Why was the freezer cash? Because
you wouldn't look there.
Because they figured that the robbers weren't going to look there. But everybody knew that's what everybody's grandmother was doing. Shoe boxes in the closet and the freezer.
There's also inappropriate pictures in those shoe boxes.
Sometimes.
Yeah. Weird.
Yeah. See, now it's just on your phone. But back in those days, they didn't really have a chance. They took a brownie camera and somebody, dropped their knickers.
Is that grandma? Knickers?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, God.
That's not grandpa.
Yeah. No, I'm seriously. I mean,
Is that the mailman?
The one thing that has propelled every piece of intimate technology, like a camera or VHS or anything, video cams, whatever it is, your cell phone camera, has always been propelled by people taking pictures of themselves naked. That is just the way it goes.
Kind of is. You look at art, right, from years and years ago.
Yeah. This goes way back.
A lot of naked people.
Yeah.
Yeah, but now the internet ruined everything.
Yeah, now we get to see too much of it.
It's like, oh, here's another quarterback's ding-donger, God, jeez.
Don't we have a person who's called the refrigerator?
That's right.
We did,
freezer
yes.
Oh, the freezer.
No. We have the freezer now. Yeah. Anyway, to bring it back to full circle, thank you very much.
Well,
yeah. Get us out of the gutter.
Yeah.
All right. Well, all I want to say is thank you.
Thank you, Matt Whitaker, for the redacting. That's what you want to say. But the Flynn report is coming out on our watch, so we'll be seeing some details pretty soon here.
Yeah.
This memo.
We have
from the Mueller.
Again, it's going to come out. It's going to all be blacked out with one word. It's going to have Mueller and Flynn, just Flynn's name a couple times and a few verbs. And then you don't know what the verb leads to.
Right. You've seen those before when they sort of, you're like, what?
Then Flynn cooperated in the investigation of blah, 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 blah. All right. Well, we'll find out. It's coming up.
We'll know soon.
Let's check in with Judy. She's got the news headlines at the top of the hour. What's coming up?
And we're now learning that the Kennedy shutdown started as a carjacking. Chicago Bulls have made a coaching change. So the Steve Cochran Show will be checking in with their 10-year-old Bulls correspondent, Connor Gibbs. He's got thoughts on the move, all right? Tomorrow morning at 6:50.
They can talk to the 12-year-old coach then and find out what's going on.
True.
There's a lot of coaching
changes in the atmosphere.
Drama here.
Mm-hmm.
Drama.
God. But this is just a temporary guy, right?
No, it sounds like he's going to be around for a while. The Bulls yesterday made it sound like this is a long-term thing with Jim Boylan, who's been an assistant in and out of the NBA for the past 20 years or so, won a few championships. But no, they made it sound like this is the long-term deal with Jim Boylan.
Wouldn't it be amazing? I just want to have a little fantasy for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
The Bulls good again? That would be amazing.
Wouldn't it be amazing if Steve Kerr came back to the Chicago Bulls?
That would be.
Ooh,
I love that.
That would be. I'd love that, too.
Yeah. I just want you to stop and think about that for a second.
All right. I like that.
I don't think there's a chance in hell that's going to happen, but I just want you to stop and think about it.
That would be cool, although, yeah, it'd be tough to pull a coach from that that roster, which is one of the best rosters basically ever put together in NBA history. So, Bulls fan can dream, right?
Yeah.
What about Michael Jordan coming back?
As a coach?
It'd be weird to coach against the team he owns in the Charlotte Hornets. So
yeah, that's a bit of a problem.
A little bit of a speed bump there.
There's a few issues with that. A and B, he doesn't know how to coach. There's that.
Oh, I meant play, but I thought we were just dreaming.
Yeah,
we were just dreaming.
At this point, I think that if you put Michael Jordan out on the court, it would be just about as effective as putting me out on the court right now. I always go to my right. I just go to my right.
You can set a hell of a screen though.
Yeah.
I was always good at that. Rebounds and screens.
Yeah, I do that thing where I jump in front of somebody, then I put my hands in front of my crotch.
You got to ground yourself.
And I close my eyes real tight, like, oh, God, this is going to hurt.
Hope you get a penalty.
Yeah.
Well,
and then they hit me. I go, I don't want to fall straight back. I could hit my head. This is why my basketball career.
See, it didn't go well.
I was good at the fast breaks.
Yeah.
That's all I contributed. I was always on the other side of the court, so I'm like, I'm here.
Did you ever at any point forget which basket you were supposed to put it in?
No, but my best friend's dad was our coach, Coach Nick. How you doing?
How you doing, Nick?
He only put me in when Rachel played.
Coach Nick taking action.
Yeah, because Rachel was the star of the team.
I would love to. I'd love to continue to have this conversation about nothingness, but unfortunately, we've got to get to Judy Pilak's news coming your way in 2 minutes from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Procon Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. We're going to get through the top 5 at 5 here. And then on the other side, Pat Brady used to be an assistant U.S. attorney. And he is going to break down the revelations that are going to be forthcoming from Robert Mueller's disclosure that is said to be on the printer right now, being handed over to the people who file it, the clerks over at the Justice Department, as he's going to lay out Michael Flynn's involvement in the Russia investigation.
Right, and we'll be looking at that for clues into the larger Mueller probe. Maybe a window into what else he may be looking into.
Right, a window into the soul of
Michael the nation.
Flynn. Yeah.
In some ways. So it's supposed to be today. That's what it's expected drop date.
It has to be today. It has to be by today, midnight tonight, technically, so 11 o'clock our time. But it is not... We thought it was going to be close of business, but it's close of business in New York was an hour ago.
That's right. It's kind of surprising we don't already have it.
See, but the
second we have it, though, we'll be sure to let you know.
Yes. And I don't know what we'll do with it if we get it, because if somehow it ends up with us, that means it went the wrong place. Yeah, and that we're going to have to work that out.
It's true.
All right, here we go. Here
Let's
we
do
go.
This.
It's the top 5 on the Rokon Show.
5.
Let's go.
4, 3, 2, 1.
Now, it's the top 5 at 5 on the Rokon Show with Anna DeVlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Checking in at
number 5.
As he left CIA Director Gina Haspel's briefing on the death of Jamal Khashoggi, Senator Lindsey Graham voiced his conclusion that the Crown Prince, Mohammed bin Salman, was involved to the highest level possible in the murder.
Why? I think Secretary Pompeo and Mattis are following the lead of the president. There's not a smoking gun, there's a smoking saw. You have to be willfully blind not to come to the conclusion that this was orchestrated and organized by people under the command of MBS, and that he was intricately involved in the demise of Mr. Khashoggi. Open source reports show that he had been focusing on Mr. Khashoggi for a very long time. It is zero chance, zero, that this happened in such an organized fashion without the Crown Prince.
There you go.
Well, he mentions the open source thing. It's really important. What he's referring to there is yesterday it came to the media, but apparently it had gotten up to government levels and then leaked out to the media, that there was email exchanges between the Crown Prince and other security officials, and I'm using that term loosely, about taking care of Khashoggi based on Khashoggi's email exchanges he was having with other people about what a dipweed he thought the Crown Prince was. Khashoggi apparently was trying to get a bunch of folks in Saudi Arabia to rise up against the Crown Prince. Now, you could make the argument, and I'm sure Donald Trump will eventually make the argument, while he was trying to coup, so they had to kill him, as opposed to trying him. It's extrajudicial. They go to a foreign country to do it. They lure him out of the United States where he was. I mean, this is not how, in the United States, if you want to charge somebody with attempted treason or coup or whatever, you arrest them and you try them. Here, you just go and kill them in a consulate in somebody else's country.
It's fascinating, though, that you had even a couple of days ago Mike Pompeo saying that I've seen all the intelligence and there is no direct link and no smoking gun that there is you can tie to the Crown Prince. And now you have the members of the Senate Intelligence Committee looking at this and saying zero chance he wasn't involved. No way, no how. You have Republicans and Democrats agreeing. You have the intelligence community presenting that. And yet,
Mike Pompeo disgraced his office as Secretary of State in doing that. He's not only Secretary of State, he led the CIA.
That's
People felt pretty calm when he took over the CIA.
He's got that background in intelligence.
Right. And he's remember, he was also in Congress. So, I mean, he's a guy that has he's a guy who has devoted himself to public service. And when you devote yourself to public service, are you devoting yourself to the work of the people of the United States or to one client? And that becomes the question. That's what Donald Trump demands of the people around him. And that's what Pompeo seems to have done here. And it was embarrassing for him. And he will eventually regret that he said the words that he said. When it was like, I'm here. You know, why are you here and Gina Haspel's not here? This was a couple of days ago. And he said, well, I was asked to be here and I'm here. As opposed to giving any kind of other. And then also trying to cover up for, not cover up, but misdirect. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, we don't know for sure what happened. Well, nobody knows for sure except for the guys who were there. Right?
Right.
But I don't think Khashoggi is going to pop up out of a cake anytime soon. So here's Lindsey Graham saying he's prepared to do more here.
I want to make sure that Saudi Arabia is put on notice that business as usual has come to an end for me. I will not look at the kingdom the same way that I used to look at it. I will not support arms sales until all responsible for the death of Mr. Khashoggi have been brought to justice. I will no longer support the war in Yemen as constructed.
Wow. Those are some positions a lot of people would like to hear from the administration, but we will see.
Although you never know with Lindsey Graham. You never know where it's going to go next.
You don't know what to
That's fine.
You really don't. He'll be at the White House meeting with the president and come out and be his biggest supporter tomorrow.
All right.
Number four.
The Views opener on the passing of George. Have you seen this? This has created quite a stir.
I was alerted to this by one of our producers earlier. Got nasty.
Yeah. Got heated. The View got heated when they were talking about the passing of George H.W. Bush, 41. Meghan McCain heralded Bush's long life and dedication to public service.
Mm-hmm.
Very appropriate.
Yeah.
As well as his grace in office. And at one point, Joy Behar brought up Bush's record on global warming before she invoked Trump.
He signed into law the Clean Air Act Amendment of 1990, one of the most sweeping environmental statutes ever.
Yeah.
This president that we have now is trying to unravel everything that he did and Obama did. And if I ever become a one-issue voter, it will be about pollution and the greenhouse effect. And
can
the
we
fact
focus
that,
on the president, please? I don't want to talk about Trump. We're honoring a great president
in his past. Please, I want to talk about
honoring, but I'm not interested in your one issue.
I don't care what you're interested in. I'm talking.
Well, I don't care what you're interested in.
We'll
either,
be right back.
Boy.
Oh, whoopee. Later. Saving him. Christmas.
Voiceover. Hey,
later.
Coming up on Christmas controversy.
We'll make Christmas cookies.
Do you make Christmas cookies for your husband's ex-wife?
Apparently, there are recordings though of what Joy Behar was saying to Megan during the break there, and she called her the B-word. So it continued, even though the music interrupted.
Oh yeah,
that
for
moment.
Sure it did.
It was.
Do they ever have civil conversations on that show,
no.
Or is it just you know?
But
go at each other's
point.
Throats.
They do hot topic issues, and they all have opinions.
Yeah.
Dumb
and
opinions.
Apparently they're not interested in any of them.
Not interested in your opinion. I'm not interested in yours either.
Your opinion stinks.
Yeah.
Get this bee under control.
That's probably the 10
wow.
second delay saved them there. They went,
they went to it quick. Like Whoopi knew that was coming.
They're all screaming, and then
she said, whoa.
I don't care you what know you're
what?
Damn it.
We'll be right back.
Boy. Okay.
Christmas controversy. The timing there. Beautiful.
Oh, God.
That show's live, right?
No.
Oh, it's not live.
Oh, well, it depends on, I think, I don't know the answer to that. I think they do it live some days, they don't do it live other days.
Or in some time slots it's live, depending on where it airs and when.
Yeah.
I never understand that live, but
I don't
not
think it's live.
Live
here.
I get confused.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm like,
Trust me, it's confusing. But it depends on what time you're seeing it. I think they may record it live some mornings.
But they don't stop and retape.
No, it's live to
it's
tape.
Just live to tape.
Right. Unless they completely. Well, they can't because that's live in some. I think it's live in New York. Live in the East Coast.
I don't care about your opinion.
I don't care about your opinion either. Coming up.
And we would need Tom Skilling to do a promo right after
How to make the perfect Christmas bow. All right, here we go. Let's check in with Judy, find out what's coming up at the bottom of the hour news.
Tens of thousands of chickens die in a local fire.
Late night hockey on WGN-TV. Wednesday, the Blackhawks are California dreaming of victory in Anaheim as they battle the Ducks Wednesday night at 9:30 on WGN-TV.
I would like them to stop dreaming of victory.
And really make it happen?
Pull a few of those off.
That'd be nice.
Yeah.
We'd like to see that.
You know, Scott Darling's available.
Oh, he is. I like Scott Darling so much.
I just like the idea of having him on the team. I don't
know
if he'd be any good.
Well,
I'd like Sully the dog on the team right now. I'd take anything.
Sully.
All right. Checking in at
number three.
If I could turn back time.
Last night in New York, the premiere of The Cher Show. Broadway musical based on the life of Cher. She told reporters that it's really kind of interesting to see yourself and your entire life's history unfold on a Broadway stage.
It's very fun sometimes, and it's very, very, very difficult sometimes. You know, it's just very difficult. It's just so close to the bone. The actors in this play, I couldn't have gone anywhere and found better people. I am not kidding. When I see them, sometimes I'm like in tears.
Okay. Now, did you see Kanye?
He got in trouble.
And Kim were at this last night?
They were.
Kim is a huge Cher fan. She dresses like her a lot. She went to the concert in Vegas with her friends on a recent episode of Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
Uh-huh.
And
uh-huh.
She got to meet Cher. But she brought Kanye for a date night, and it didn't go well.
Yeah.
He started tweeting. He was on his phone, and then one of the actors, the actor who plays Sonny Bono, tweeted to say, hey, great that you're here,
harsh.
But will you look up from your phone? Dude, it's kind of a big deal.
Right, because this is our opening night. It's kind of a big deal for the actors on stage. Can you please respect the performers? Respect
and
the artists here?
Shockingly, Kanye actually apologized back instead of making it a big ordeal.
He did. He said some nice things. Please pardon my lack of etiquette. We have so much appreciation for the energy you guys put into making this masterpiece.
Thorazine kicked right in right at that moment.
I think Kim typed it up.
I think Chris Jenner. Like, I'll handle this.
Yeah, give me that phone.
You're in a timeout with Satan North. Go.
What?
Here's the release.
What? What'd I do? Sit down. You are a Kardashian now. And you will act like one.
Stop cutting.
The only problem is he can't get pregnant by an NBA player. That's the only thing that keeps him from being a full Kardashian. All right. Check it in.
Number two.
Marvel Studios caught everyone by surprise last night during Monday Night Football when they released a trailer for their upcoming film, Captain Marvel. This is a 90s era film.
Okay.
It takes place in 1995. Carol Danvers, portrayed by Brie Larson, goes from fighter pilot to one of the galaxy's mightiest heroes. And she gets caught between two warring alien worlds, the Kree and the Skrull.
Your life began the day it nearly ended. We found you with no memory. We made you one of us. So you could live longer, stronger, superior. You were reborn.
This war is just the beginning.
I'm not going to fight your war.
So I saw the trailer for this in the theaters.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought to myself, because I heard Brie Larson was playing this.
Right.
And, you know, Brie Larson is great, but she plays these little, like, up close, kind of like that The Room movie and everything.
Dramatic characters.
Yeah.
Right.
She's good. She could do comedy, too.
She's a break from what she usually is in.
Right. So, but I don't, you know, see her flying around in the air. And it looked really good. And, of course, you know, this whole thing with, you know, making Captain Marvel a woman is a big deal. That's a big deal.
It is a big deal.
Yeah. How about that?
To see what Richard Roper says about that.
I think Harvey Weinstein would have had another thing coming in a situation like that. get thrown across his own shower by, and you know, I know what she grabs to make that happen.
Well, yeah. You can imagine.
Yeah. All right.
It'd have been nice.
Number one.
With a little love and some tenderness, we'll walk upon the water.
I didn't know if we were wanting this or not wanting this, but Hootie and the Blowfish are getting back together.
Oh, I like them.
Yeah, how about that?
Mm-hmm.
They were pretty good last night at Fallon.
They won a bunch of Grammys. They're going to drop a new album and launch the group therapy tour, along with the Bare Naked Ladies. Wow.
Oh, gosh.
Wow.
That's the throwback.
Really? This
files?
Is good. Yeah. But you know what? This is funny. When you're like 20 years on, 25 years on, and you get back together, that's when you make all your money. Because your fans now have
money.
And they want to go back and they want to relive a moment when they didn't have money. And that is the best thing you can do in the rock and roll industry.
Plus, the Bare Naked Ladies are really good in person and live. If you're not a huge fan of their music.
Darius Rucker discussed about when one of their shows in Alabama occurred. They were not so popular. And what was that like?
We were playing one show in Huntsville, Birmingham, Alabama, at this place called the Tip Top Cafe. And we show up, and we don't only outnumber the people that are there.
We're not popular.
We are the only people there. If we're playing for the two bartenders, to the point that one bartender just lit up a joint and just came up and just they were just smoking pot. We were just sitting around because they made us play.
Yeah. For our $100. They're like, we're paying you.
We're paying you $100 to play, and we've literally played to the bartenders.
We've
back in the day.
I've done shows like that myself. All right, well, that's something.
We'll look forward to seeing that. He's not doing country anymore. Then is that what it means? Darius Rucker.
He'll do some of his stuff.
Kind
of I don't know. Whatever. Yeah. People are going to want to go see it. It's got like, and then the Friends reunion show. That's basically what this is.
I like it.
The top five at five.
Concho with Anna DeBlantis right here at 720 WGN. All right, Pat Brady joins us right now. He's a political analyst. Formerly, though, he's sort of become a legal analyst for us now more than a political analyst because, well, you kind of need this sort of thing. You did public corruption cases.
And it's Mike Monaco's out of state.
No, we had him earlier.
Earlier. We already had him. So you're second.
We had to stagger you guys today because we were waiting. Let's just be honest about how this happened. We thought that we were going to get this Mueller filing at about 2:00 this afternoon,
that's
Chicago
right.
time.
It felt like it.
And so we thought there would be an hour to digest it. We'll put Monica on at 3:40. He'll talk about it. Then we would, you know, back at 4:40, have Aaron Katursky talk about it for ABC News. And then have your analysis at 5:40. And we haven't seen any of this. And right now on CNN, they're running this lower third. Says, any moment, Mueller to reveal how Flynn cooperated. And they've been saying any moment since noon today.
That's
so
right.
We're now at 5 hours and 41 minutes. And the funny thing about this is that Wolf Blitzer has gotten perpetually older during this any moment, any minute moment.
He's aging.
His beard has grown to like Santa Claus levels as we've been waiting here. He's been sitting on the set. He's been sitting on the set for like 6 hours.
He doesn't
waiting
look happy.
For this
he doesn't look. He's like, come on.
Does
drop
it still
it
say breaking news?
It does. It says breaking news.
He said that for 6 hours. That's true. When I left the house today, it was CNN had the breaking news up. Flynn report memo due any moment.
Oh, somebody's back there with their black magic marker striking out things they don't want out.
What if they? Oh, is that what it
now,
is?
Who's
you think
doing
redactions?
That?
Yeah,
they want to see what Fox is doing.
Or do they
right
just want to drop it late at 11:59 to sort of take the heat off of it.
Well, Manafort's is Friday, though, too.
All right, so now you got MSNBC is saying Trump once called anti-corruption law. Wait, hold on, I just went away from it, so let me go find out what's happening over on the
Foreign Corrupt Practice Act.
Yeah, he said it was a horrible law because it would get in his way. Let's go back down to the Fox and see what they're all up to down there at the Fox. Oh, they're up to a commercial. All right, so we don't know. But
what's on MeTV?
Oh, Andy Griffith.
Hogan's Heroes.
Can we watch Friends while we're talking about it?
Right. He's like, oh, this is a good one. Pivot!
Oh, gee.
All right, okay.
This is serious stuff, guys. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah. It's super serious.
Pull it together.
Super serious. All right. So what are we waiting on here? What do you think is going to happen?
Well, they're not doing it under seal. I'm sure Mike talked about that, right? So they're actually going to...
Just don't guess what everybody talked about. Who was here?
I don't want to contradict him because he's the prime analyst.
The official legal analyst.
So I agree there, like Mike said, but they're probably redacting what they don't want, but you'd think they would have done that before, right now.
But who does the redacting?
The judge has got to approve it.
Does the acting attorney general...
Well, you're going to have the prosecutor in there with the judge and probably the defense counsel and say, hey, this is what I would think it would be an agreed upon
redaction. This is Mike Flynn's defense counsel.
Yeah, I would think everybody would be. But I think it's ultimately up to the judge what's going to be released. But I think they'd make their case for why we don't want to release this because of national security. It'll hurt our case or whatever.
So they're sitting with the judge right now.
Yeah, you do a lot of stuff sitting with the judge. Yeah, a lot of gets done. I mean, I'm not saying that.
Are they in an open courtroom or in chambers?
I'm sure they're back in chambers.
Yeah.
So it's supposed to detail Flynn's cooperation, the sort of facts about how he's cooperating with the special counsel, because this is an advance of sentencing. Is that right?
Well, this is a sentencing memo. So when you're going to your sentencing, the probation office, they put together a memo on the facts of the case and the relevant facts and that justify the sentence that you're going to ask for. So you're going to have the facts. There will be, in this case, a lot of facts about Flynn and about what he's done in the case that maybe, because of grand jury secrecy rules, hasn't been out in the public domain. Now, it could be very detailed or it could be very not detailed, but I suspect, given what they're doing here, it's probably pretty detailed, which could mean that if they're letting Flynn plead, they're pretty much done with him insofar as a cooperating witness. So to me, it kind of indicates, and we've heard this today, that this might be coming to an end sooner rather than later.
We heard about his early on that he lied to the authorities, the feds, about his meeting with Kislyak and what the subject or substance of those meetings were, that it was really about lifting sanctions after the election. He was part of the transition team at that point. Do you think we're going to get any bombshells out of this? We'll learn more. Anything else? Anything new? Or
we'll learn more,
fingers?
But I doubt we're going to get a... I don't think we're going to get a bombshell until we get the actual report. But I do believe we will learn more, but I don't think it's going to be a bombshell.
Friday, maybe.
What the hell do you know? You thought Trump was going to win this thing. Here's what I want to know. If from you, having said that, I still want to ask you a question. What's the sort of spectrum of things that we can learn here? What's in this that mechanically would normally be in a filing like this that would be revelatory?
Well, the facts of the case and the circumstances surrounding the plea deal that justify whatever recommendation they're going to make to the judge, because it's ultimately up to the judge. So the judge has to have enough of a factual basis in front of him to make a determination where this person, Flynn, fits. And even though they don't use the guidelines, they do use him as a reference where he would fit on that scale.
So if Flynn, the other piece of this that will be important that we will learn from is what Flynn was also helping with in general, right? I mean, the probably the specifics and the people that specifically that he was talking about might be redacted here.
Yeah, I could see it, and it's so different in different districts, and different judges want it a different way. I mean, it's uniform to a certain extent, but then it's not. It could be very detailed.
And this federal district court in D.C., right?
I actually spent a lot of time in that court. It could be very detailed. Or it could not be detailed. The judge just has to have enough information and be satisfied that he or she has enough information to make a fair sentencing determination. But typically in federal court, everything is kind of written out and there's an analysis of the law and the guidelines and things like that. So it would probably give you a great idea or a very good idea of what Flynn was testifying about and the direction of the investigation, how much cooperation he actually gave.
But without knowing who he was cooperating against or with or for, or, you know, I mean.
Yeah, we don't know that.
But do you anticipate that we will?
I would anticipate that you'll get a lot better direction of where this investigation with him, at least as it relates to him, is going. But just let's take it a step back.
Okay.
There's three components to this investigation. There's whether or not the Russians actually interfered in our election. Well, we've already indicted a bunch of Russians.
Yeah.
And that's the last
check.
The last we're going to hear that one. The second component is whether or not the Trump campaign or people in the Trump orbit conspired with the Russians to interfere with our election. And if that's the bucket we're dealing here with Flynn, whether or not maybe these, they were talking about sanctions as a trade-off for whatever help they were going to give. Now, again, that might be a huge stretch. And the third component of
But we know he lied about discussing sanctions with them. So if you lie about discussing sanctions, you might feel weird about discussing sanctions because there would have been a quid pro quo.
Exactly.
Plus, you would ask questions about who else knew. Certainly, Michael Flynn wouldn't act on his own, solo, and just talk to him, or maybe
yes, he would. Yes, he would.
You know,
that's what he did.
He's a generally might.
Okay.
You know, I'm not saying that because he did that the president knew. But then the third component of this, to me, it's always been the strongest of all the cases, is the obstruction of justice, which we saw yesterday with the president sending out the tweets, arguably, at least some legal analysis, which I tend to agree with, saying trying to intimidate witnesses, that's obstruction of justice.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So this is the second lane of the three things that his mandate, Mueller's mandate, is insofar as this investigation. But it could be really fascinating. We're going to have Manafort Friday, too, so there's going to be a lot more information in public than there has been.
That's that one would be really meaningful, wouldn't it? I mean, that one may be the real meat, I would think, because Manafort, we don't know exactly why he broke the agreement to work with the government, do we?
No, but at this point, what good is Manafort for anything? He's like we were talking the other day, he's actually lying about the lies. The guy lies about everything.
Yeah.
And I still think he's rolling the dice. He thinks Trump's going to pardon him.
It does appear that way.
Which probably would be, one could argue, obstruction of justice, because Donald Trump has skin in the game. You can't pardon people where you have skin in the game of their crime.
Right? I agree completely that if you are the whole in the jury instruction he would get if he were ever charged is whether or not he impeded the lawful administration of justice with a corrupt intent. Now he's got the authority to do that pardon, but you can exceed your lawful authority if you're
doing it to benefit yourself personally.
Exactly.
But where's the oversight on that? Who would the Supreme Mueller. Court or Mueller?
Yeah, I mean that's a criminal violation of the criminal code.
Or the U.S. attorneys, you know, either that or Department of Justice at some point coming after him for that, after he's been impeached, though. You can't charge him with that while he's still president.
Well, now, that's the Justice Department policy says you're not supposed to charge a sitting president. The case is whether they can, that's just policy, not law. The case whether they can was argued in Nixon era. It was briefed and argued, but they never ruled on it. So it's still not settled whether or not it's a separation of powers argument.
Yeah.
I just cannot imagine that he would actually indict him, Mueller.
But if he hands all this meat over to Congress, that wouldn't, they think that would have the political result of them starting an impeachment trial?
Well, that's,
well, impeachment is dangerous. Political. It's totally political.
It's totally political, it's also dangerous politically. Clinton left with a 58% approval rating.
Right. I think the only way for America to heal here. I mean, let's just take this out and away from the tribal part. Let's just all look at each other as Americans for a second, and then look at what we're seeing here. So we see this president, and he can talk all he wants about how this is a witch hunt, but there are dozens upon dozens of indictments here.
Yeah.
You've got...
That's seven guilty pleas so far, right?
Right. So it had nothing to do with me. We never had, you know, there was no collusion. We didn't know anything. Well, they had a meeting, right, that they didn't want to talk about. A bunch of people have lied, including Don Jr. apparently has lied.
Well, then they doctored up the response on Air Force One coming back from wherever.
Right.
On the purpose
about
of the
meeting.
Yeah, which was just another big, that's obstruction.
Right, the Trump Tower meeting with the Russians.
Just remember old Martha Stewart made a couple statements about her company
Then, but I think there's going to be a lot of people go, all right, so what? All politicians lie. What difference does it make? Why are you going to hold this guy? You're only holding this guy up because he's finally telling the truth and he's speaking truth to power and he's being a tough guy. And that's you know, a lot of what his supporters would say.
Sure.
The differential, I would argue, is that this is the United States of America. We do have rules here. There are laws here. And he doesn't just get to go around the rules because he can't either concentrate long enough to be on the rules or doesn't want to be on the rules because he's never, ever had anybody since the moment he was born tell him no, except for his dad who sent him off to reform school.
But he has so attacked the institutions that we believe in, starting with the media, going to the FBI. Remember when he went after that judge? That judge is a buddy of mine. He lives in San Diego. Mm-hmm. He's about as Hispanic as I am. I mean, he's from Indiana. And he was saying that you know, he ruled against him because of he made some.
He's a Mexican, okay?
He's a Mexican, okay?
That was exactly his quote.
Gonzalez Oscar's a nice guy.
Yeah.
Point is,
but it doesn't even matter. I mean, no matter that, I mean, it's just, it's on its very face. It's like the definition of racist.
It's racist, but he attacked.
Even the Speaker of the House said that.
Yeah.
True.
Well, attacking the institutions. He doesn't get that when the president does that, you diminish those institutions we rely on for a functioning democracy.
Right. He's not really all that interested in functioning democracy. He wants to make this all about him so that he will be seen as the great savior of the United States in a time when whoever was going to take it over.
There's a great article today about the constitutional violations, not the criminal statute violations of the Emoluments Clause, and that this is what the Constitution was set up to protect against.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Pat.
Thanks, sorry, I'm not Pat. Mike Monaco.
I blame you for everything. All right. Thank you, Pat.
Thank you.
Judy, what's happening at the top of the hour?
The Bush family thanking mourners at the Rotunda.
Pro Con Show with Anna DeVlantis, yes. Right here on 720 WGN. All right. We got a big First Roel show coming up. I want to thank the sponsors of that on Friday. It's going to be from 3 to 7, of course. Ides of March is going to be there. Carnarvon Wagon's going to roll. Tom Skilling's going to be there. U.S. Marine Corps Reserve Toys for Tots program. Everybody's coming. Should bring an unwrapped toy. If you have registered, you are in. The registration is closed because we are at capacity for this particular event. We'll be giving away a two-night stay at the Drake Hotel, which is the Hilton. Blackhawks painting by Elliot Fromm of Art Beat Live. $100 New Balance Chicago gift cards. Pairs of tickets to go see the opening night performance of A Bronx Tale. And LUVArtShoes.com is also going to be there giving away their shoes. Plus, you got Sweet Alley's, Gluten-Free Bakery, Morcus Chocolates, nice. Never Measure is going to be there. We're going to play with that. Malnati's Taste of Chicago is going to be there. It's all presented by New Balance Chicago with locations in Lincoln Park, Oakbrook Terrace, Orland Park, and Schaumburg. And sponsored by Apple Chevrolet, Architect of Chicagoland, Hilton's of Chicago, Lou Malnati's, Morcus Chocolates, Never Measure.
Never ends.
And the Verdoliak Law Group.
Very cool.
How about
thank
that?
You to
I want
the
to
sponsors.
Thank them.
And we're excited.
Yes.
Bro, you're adding an entire new wing simply using the Never Measure, right? That's all you're going to use when
yes,
we're at the bar.
Exactly. That's what I'm going to do. That's
how useful that tool
is. I'm going to pull my a saw to get some wood. I'm going to make a bar using the Never Measure that if they
have
one. Yeah.
Yeah, luck with that.
I'm going to make a Carnarvon Wagon.
Well, you can definitely measure stuff with it, but I don't think it can
be. Little duct tape, we're good to go.
Yeah, that's fine. Give me some wheels, and then we're good.
Well, bonus Carnarvon.
And this is interesting. A guy put this up on his Facebook page.
Mm-hmm. On Twitter, yeah.
On Twitter, I'm sorry.
I mean, I know you're...
on all digital platforms.
I think it was everything, wasn't it? Facebook, yeah, for sure. Why are you contradicting me?
I'm not contradicting you. It's just funny. I thought you didn't know, like...
The difference?
The social media.
Between Facebook and Twitter and
I'm sorry, continue.
Instagram.
I apologize.
Yeah,
sorry.
I know. Yeah.
Way to bring it to a screeching halt.
Right, because only 26-year-olds know about the social media.
Why are you getting so offended? I'm sorry.
Can we get to the thing already?
Yeah, what were you trying
Here
to say?
Here is the guy, Springbo. That is who he is, at Springbo. B-O. Springbo.
Okay.
And he made a little song for us.
Oh, sweet.
The first Roel, the producers did say, was to certain
amazing.
I love that.
He's got such a good voice.
Yeah.
Really well produced.
Yeah.
Been whistling that all day.
He's the official troubadour of the Rokan show with Anna DeVlantis, unpaid position.
Yeah. And I feel like there's more to come because there was someone sitting behind him in the video he posted with a big maybe trombone.
A tuba.
Tuba.
Yeah.
Something.
I think that's a, yeah.
It was very festive too. They had little Santa hats on and
very talented guy.
Well done. Well composed.
Yes. I mean, really talented.
Yeah.
That's really
that?
Impressive.
Thanks, Springbo.
Thank you, Springbo.
I like the way he put all our names together.
And he realized...
really stretched Powell a little bit there, yeah, but it worked.
He realized that Powell and Roel are close enough.
Yeah, close enough.
It worked.
powwow.
They'll be drinking. They won't even notice the difference.
Oh, thanks, yeah.
It's beautiful. It brings a tear to my eye.
We got to play that on Friday.
Dear God, dear
during
help
the
us.
First row.
Please help us, dear God. All right, this is going to be something. It's going to be a ton of fun.
It's going to be a blast. Got Tom Skilling there. Got the Santa.
Couple dueling Santas. Right, we got a battle
I
out.
Think the real Santa's going to be there, and then a guy who thinks he's Santa.
That's huge.
All right. Stop singing. Let's talk to Adam Hogue. Can we just for a second? Because you were at the Hallis Hall today, were you not, Mr. Hogue?
Yeah. Yeah. It's been a busy couple days after they finally lose for the first time in a long time.
Yeah, and it's got me a little freaked out. I'm going 8-8 now because of what happened.
So does Twitter.
Really? It's true.
The panic button has been officially pressed by Bears fans.
Yeah, yeah. Do we know anything about Mitchell Trubisky? What can you tell us? What are your spies telling you?
Well, we know that he can play ping pong pretty well, apparently, with his right arm. That's what's going around Instagram from a Josh Bellamy video last night that's got everybody so excited and declaring him good to go.
Why isn't he resting that arm?
Well, and that's the thing. I'm like, he was throwing a football on Sunday. That's a lot harder than playing ping pong.
Was he throwing a football on the sideline?
Yeah, pregame he was. He threw for about 5 minutes. And the reports were that he looked just about normal, right, Adam? He wasn't really reserved or anything?
I think if they were playing the Rams 2 days ago, he would have played. I mean, this is my opinion based on, like...
Yeah, what could go wrong with the Giants? We'll beat them, no problem.
Yeah, we'll get right past them.
So I think he's going to be good to go. I'll be shocked, guys. I'll be shocked if he doesn't play.
Can I say something about little Cody Parkey, though? Ever since Cody Parkey got absolutely humiliated by us...
4 times.
Yeah. Wait, would you like...
We had the choppers over Soldier.
Yeah, when he was practicing. People...
We weren't the only ones.
He pulled it together. Yep. 3.
That noise is waking 4. Him up in the middle of the night.
When he has been perfect since then. I mean, not just perfect. Down the middle perfect. If I pulled my never measure out and I put it over in between the two uprights, he'd be right in the center.
Exactly. And that's what you want your NFL kicker to do. You look around the league at the good kickers. They drill them right down the middle.
That's right. You just want them always to be there, right? Even in wind conditions. But his onside kick, I think, was very impressive, too. It kept the Bears in the game.
Mm-hmm. It was perfect.
I mean, he's come back. I think the Bears it's woke time. And they're coming back home. It's a primetime game. And in primetime, they're 2-1 so far this year. Right, they lost to Green Bay, but they at home they have been
Seattle, Minnesota. They took care of business.
Yep. So I think this could be a big this should be a big moment. This is the season. Really, is it too early to say the season hinges on this? I don't think it is.
Well, in what way? I mean, they can still win the division if they lose,
right? But then they're going up against a Green Bay Packer team that is now, been decapitated and will be very angry because it'll run around like a chicken with its head cut off for a couple of weeks. And when it does that, it's going to be, I think that Green Bay team will be more dangerous than we anticipate.
Well, and I'm glad you say that, Ro. I think this could be a slippery slope. I agree that you have to be careful here, and certainly they're going to give everything they can to beat the Rams. This is going to be a marquee game. It could be one of the better games of the year. They're going to come to play Sunday night, no doubt about it. But if you lose that game, I agree. You cannot take the Packers lightly. You have not arrived yet. You haven't beaten the Packers in forever. You blew a 20-0 lead against the Packers. And by the way, it turns out they're not that good. There's a reason they were losing 20-0 in that game week one to the Bears. So you can't take them lightly. And all of a sudden, you lose to your rival again. Now you've lost 3 games in a row.
Right.
And then that's where we're definitely
And you're 8-7
talking.
And 7 at that point. And then you got to figure out what you're going to do to get past. San Francisco, you're probably going to get past, but you got to go out to San Francisco and play that game. And you just never know. And then let's say you win that. So now you're 9-6. Wait.
9-6.
You're 9-6. Right. You're 9-6. And then... It really could come down to having to win that game to win the division and maybe even make the playoffs.
And you don't want that. You don't want to have to go to Minneapolis in week 17 in a game that'll probably get flexed to Sunday night for them. Now all of a sudden it's an advantage that it's a primetime game for the Vikings at home, a team that's still pretty good. I mean, yeah. I think the Bears are better, but all of a sudden you go on the road to that stadium, which is incredibly loud. It's a great place to play.
This loss on Sunday,
I know,
as,
I didn't like that.
As great a game as it was, it's absolutely startling because it creates the potential for a real problem here for them.
Well, I
know, yeah. And Kevin's been like, laughing at me this panic. Whole time. But
I mean, you're right. I'm not disagreeing. I just sometimes the panic that settles into this town over, you know, a certain game. I get it. It is. It could be potentially a slippery slope. I'm with you there. I get it. But yeah, I just don't see this team losing, going 8-8.
No, I don't either. It was not a catastrophic loss, but it was a loss that sort of wakes you up and says, "All right, these games are still really important. You have to." Win these games down the stretch, and it should be pointed out that hey guys, three of their four losses have been on the road
right.
to one team's at 500, the Dolphins, and the other two
winnable
four, games. 4-7-1 Packers and the 4-8 Giants. They're not very good teams. You have three subpar losses so far this season. For as much good as happened to the Bears this year, and it's how good they've looked. They don't have their losses. Don't look that great.
I didn't know you jumped on the panic train, Adam, along with the rest of the Bears Nation.
Look how tough you are now. All of a sudden, I mean, let me say the thing is about the Giants. Though Giants are a better team than their record indicates, because you do have Saquon Barkley, who's probably going to be the best running back in the NFL within a season or two.
Yeah,
you do have you've got a defense that's now just starting to gel, starting to play together. They got a couple monsters on their side of the ball as well.
One of the best receivers in football,
right?
Adam, coming to town, the Rams, Aaron Donald, if anybody hasn't been paying attention, this guy's, you're going to see some monster defensive line play Sunday night, because on the Bears set, of course, Mack and Hicks and those guys, Aaron Donald's coming to town with 16.5 sacks in his pocket so far this year. He's been an absolute monster. I thought the Bears' offensive line had one of their worst games of the year, particularly in pass protection. They gave up 5 sacks at him. How concerned should the Bears be about their offensive line, especially when you got Aaron Donald and the Rams coming to town?
Big challenge. You know, when we were talking about that Rams-Chiefs game a couple weeks ago, that outstanding game where it didn't seem like there was any defense being played, and it was just touchdown after touchdown.
Game of the year.
You may remember I did make an observation, though. I thought both teams were getting a pretty decent pass rush, and that included the Rams.
Well, they got to Mahomes twice. That resulted in touchdowns.
They did. And there's some playmakers up front in that front seven on the Rams. So they have some they're not as complete of a defense as the Bears. I think as a unit, the Bears are better than the Rams. But there are playmakers that you have to be worried about. It's a good point about the Bears' offensive line. Probably their worst pass protection game of the season. Brian Witzman, the right guard, has been looking vulnerable the last couple weeks. The Bears are missing Kyle Long right now. There's no question. And so I think it's a big challenge. It's a game you want your starting quarterback, Mitch Trubisky, back in, because he has shown a much better ability to escape the pass rush and throw the ball away than Chase Daniel did on Sunday against the Giants.
Speaking of Long, the earliest he could come back would be, what, week 16, right?
Kyle Long?
Yeah.
He's out for the season.
It's actually week 17.
It is week 17?
Yeah.
You think we'll get... Is there any sort of update or progress on Long and potentially coming off IR when possible?
There have been some signs and a little bit of chatter that his season is not over, that he is doing everything he can to get back. He's still in a walking boot, at least as of... let's see, the last time I saw him would have been...
It was last week, Thursday, when I was there.
Yeah. So he's still got that boot on, and I think it depends on the situation. You know, if that game matters against the Vikings in Week 17, I could see him playing. If it doesn't matter and the Bears are in the playoffs, then obviously I think you'd hold him out and give him another week until the playoffs start.
So he can come back in the playoffs. Like, they don't have a date before the regular season ends to activate him off IR, do they?
He might have to be, hey. This is the first time I've ever had to cover a team going to the playoffs.
He's got to check this
youngster,
the small print.
That's a decent question.
I love that.
Yeah. They may have to actually activate him by, like, the, I don't know, that sometime that the, before the playoffs start.
Right, week 17.
That's a good question. But I don't think they have to activate him before that week 17 game.
All right. I am just glad mm-hmm. that there is another sane, sentient, conscious human being in this group of people who shares my exact dire panic. Because Kaz's like, oh, dude, they're going to win. Don't worry about it.
Oh, and you're like, oh, no, they're going to go 8-8. The season's over.
That is
I will say this.
That's exactly what I'm like.
I think I'm going to pick them to beat the Rams, though. So
you
I'm not
are. Wow.
Yeah.
Good for you. Okay. Makes me happy.
They're playing well at home. And
look, I'm not feeling completely comfortable here. I'm just also not panicking. I mean, we've seen enough body of work here from this team to realize they are a good team.
If you have learned anything on this program, Kevin, it is to panic
at all times.
At all times.
Gosh.
I know.
Figure it out.
I'll start to panic a little bit, though.
Yeah.
But so wait, Trubisky, though, when do we find out? Like, when will we know?
Tomorrow, right?
Well, it depends.
He's going to talk tomorrow. But
it depends on how Matt Nagy wants to handle this. There have been times where he has come out and said, yeah, he's back. You know, said last week he was like, Adam Shaheen and Aaron Lynch are going to practice. They're fine. There's been other weeks where they've been pushing it to Friday. But I have a feeling he's going to be ready to go to practice tomorrow. And it wouldn't surprise me if Matt Nagy just comes out and says that instead of playing games throughout the week. I think that's what's going to happen. That's my guess right now.
Okay.
Regardless of how he decides to handle this, I think he's playing Sunday night, and that's the most important thing.
Can I ask you a question? Would you have gone for two at the end of the game on Sunday?
That's your question. You ask everybody.
I asked that to a bus driver today.
You're like,
would you have gone for two?
On Michigan.
And everybody knows what I'm talking about when I go, would you have gone for two?
Yeah.
I think with the defense the Bears have and the fact that they're overall the better team, I was saying in the moment to kick the extra point and go to overtime. That being said, had he chosen to go for two, I would not have criticized it because he has shown he's got an arsenal of plays to run at the goal line and get touchdowns or two-point conversions. They've run those plenty of times, and I like his playbook.
I think they had to practice all those after, you know, they were like, okay, you know what we're going to do here? We're going to go for two a lot. And if we're 50%, we're right back where we should be.
Could have just handed off to Akeem Hicks.
Yeah, I mean, I thought about that. That they could have done, or at least fake that.
Freezer left.
Yeah.
Maybe go freezer right. Easy 2-point conversion.
Yeah. Yeah. That's just, and you think about that, and that's a big, that 9-3 is big, or, yeah, then bigger than 8-4. Okay. You kids haven't been through these brutal eras like I have been in the late 70s where the Bears were just starting to get good and they were just eking into the playoffs.
But how does that relate to 2018?
Just watching football. It's just watching football. You just see things because football is a game of missed opportunity. That's what football is. It's about managing the downside.
I get it.
They did not manage the downside particularly well. I mean, I'm going to tell you, the whole difference was Nagy calling the timeout in the first half and then scoring that going down and scoring a field goal. Otherwise, this would never have been in question. Thank you and good night.
All right.
Now, I want you all to go to your room and think about what you just said.
Start panicking.
And start panicking.
Start panicking now.
Everybody,
my gosh.
Do not remain calm.
Thank you,
Adam. Is funny how Bears fans are like just... Yep, Bears are going to the playoffs. There's no doubt about it.
And I'm done.
No, no.
I mean, a 9-7 may not get them to the playoffs. 9-7 may not, and they're very likely to go 9-7. They got as good a chance of going 9-7 as they do anything else. I gotta go.
All right.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
Judy.
The first charter school strike in the country set to enter day two in Chicago.
Right here on 720 WGN.
Yes. Are we still going to get the Mueller report on Michael Flynn any moment?
They say any moment now.
Any moment.
Yes, but we've been saying any moment for any moment for the last
a lot of moments
six and a half hours of moments.
I've had a lot of moments in between the first time I heard any moment and now. When I left the house, they were saying any moment on the CNN.
Yes, the CNN is now reporting that there's a truce between the Trump family and the Bushes for the funeral.
Well, they did. They greeted each other. Melania and President Trump came in and gave hugs and handshakes, and there was even a kiss, I think, Melania and George Bush.
I hate those guys. Hello, low energy.
Remember Jeb exclamation point?
Yes, I do.
We turned into Jeb
question
semicolon?
Mark. Yeah.
Question mark?
Yes. Question.
Ellipses.
Right. And George W. gave the double-cheeked kiss to Melania because she's from Europe or something. Right? He did that thing like, aren't you from Slovenia or something? Where are you from?
Not Texas.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
So, the whole thing is rather awkward.
Mm-hmm.
The whole thing is rather awkward. But
everyone, people come together at the time of funerals.
The most important thing to remember here is the incredible political and diplomatic artistry of George Herbert Walker Bush. Because he was something. As a public servant goes, it's can't find people who spent more of their own, put themselves more into the job than he did. And mm-hmm. whether it was CIA director or ambassador to China or any of the things, he was vice president, making sure that the world didn't blow up at the end of the Cold War. Those are all pretty great things. And he's an amazing political figure in America. And we should be thinking about him instead of Donald Trump. If I can just get all Meghan McCain on you.
Yeah.
Hey, let me change subject here completely.
Mm-hmm.
You know it's got to be big if I make that
smoothless
disclaimer. And I'm like, stand by, people. It's going to get rocky here. Humpin' Henry is the world's first sex robot for women.
Hmm. Humpin' Henry.
Humpin' Henry.
No.
Yeah. Realbotics, a company behind the Real Dolls sex robots, is starting full production of Henry.
Are these ones that look like realistic, like real people, like their flesh even feels real?
It looks like it looks like...
don't make me Google this at work again.
I know. We're all going to get in trouble here.
What's he called again?
He kind of looks like Rob Lowe.
Oh.
Yeah, right.
I'm trying to find a picture here. Oh. I'm just very curious to see.
Oh, okay. Continue.
Now, Henry might appear to be every girl's dream with his rugged appearance and angular cheekbones. Sort of a Brad Pitt. Somewhere Brad Pitt meets Rob Lowe.
Mm-hmm.
Meets Bruce Willis. I don't know. He comes equipped with a silicone member that can be customized. Though it's not bionic, which I don't know what that means. I guess that means that it's sort of in place.
It doesn't change.
Right, he's always at the ready for anything that could go. He's always stands get ready to go.
By the way, I can't find this on the internet.
I can't either. Where are you finding this?
Weird things are coming up.
He's 5'11".
Okay, I got him now. Yeah, he looks
5'11". That's tall.
$10,000 for this. But the price varies depending on the specifications. And I know what you're paying more for.
Let's have just one disclaimer. For Violetta to say that 5'11 is tall, everyone is tall for Violetta.
Yeah, that's a good point.
True.
He also has artificial intelligence sense. He can recite poetry or lyrics to your favorite songs.
Is that what girls want to hear?
He will welcome you home after a long day. He's got a British accent.
Oh.
You can order you an Uber in the morning.
Out of your own house. He's actually somehow kicking you out of your own house.
Will he take the walk of shame with you on your way home?
He's telling you, don't leave your toothbrush there.
Can he fix stuff around the house?
No.
Plus, he has a little trouble getting in and out of doorways, too. Because
he's supposed to be like a guy. So.
Right. So it's sort of, and you don't want him just walking in when your friends are around because he's
you have to hide
constantly
him.
At the ready, and that's a little embarrassing.
Does he stand by himself, or do you?
I don't know. I guess you got a
problem. They look so lifelike, though. I mean, some of the
Harmony, the female ones,
very.
If you guys are looking, just give me something for Christmas.
Okay. God.
What? It's 2018.
It's $11,000.
Trump change for you guys.
The chief executive of BIS Creations, which owns Realbotics, told the Times of London, "We've had a lot more inquiries than you think from women who want not just a sex partner, but a companion, someone to talk to."
Oh. And so he talks to you. It's like his artificial intelligence remembers the conversations.
Right.
And it's better than a lot of other
He tells
humans.
Jokes.
But he still doesn't want to cuddle after.
Can you tell me a joke?
What do you call it when a chicken sees a salad? Chicken Caesar salad. Do you want to hear another one? What does a cloud with anti rash do? Finds the nearest skyscraper.
Huh. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think it's not doing it for
me. You
know
what? I'll be honest with you. I mean, if you wanted to have sex with Stephen Hawking, you could have, you know, there were a lot of, Stephen was always available.
You have to fake laugh at those jokes, too.
Right.
Just to.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a good one.
That's funny, yeah.
Real knee slapper.
Uh-huh.
Sure, yeah, you're funny. It's
yeah.
Not,
okay.
Get in the bedroom.
Yeah, just get in the bedroom. Right. Shut up.
That was enough talking.
Well, Henry is fully customizable.
Yeah, I'd said that already.
So you can do what you like.
Yes. So you could, and you pay more based on the customization, if you know what I mean. And I think you do.
Mm-hmm. I think we understand.
Yeah.
He's got his six pack. I found him.
Yeah, I finally found him too.
He didn't. He must work out.
He didn't just come up under Humpin' Henry.
No, he didn't.
You have to
I
do
got some
further
weird things.
Research. Yeah, there was a lot that came up, but not him.
That's bad marketing right there. Now, why wouldn't they buy those keywords from Google?
I mean, seriously. I would think so.
Because I was scared for a second.
I mean, if there's a glitch with this, I mean, this guy could, you know, take somebody's eye out. He could do some serious damage.
Right. If he falls out of the closet at an inopportune time.
Humpin' Henry just keeps humping away.
Right.
He's kind of too skinny.
Oh, that's okay. Good.
I thought you were just excited about the six pack.
No, I just, they're striking, but.
They're striking. Those fake six packs. Really?
He sort of looks like a young Richard Marx. Do you see that? Because he's got that 80s hair thing going. A lot of thick hair.
But his chest.
No mullet,
he's
though.
He's hairless, though, his chest.
This ought to be. Yeah. I think I'll send that to Richard.
You should.
Yeah,
tell him.
Yeah. This could be your future right here. If you choose not to go on tour, you can actually send this guy out on tour.
Maybe he modeled for it. You never know.
Oh, yeah.
Tell you if that was like a side gig he had.
His member is, as Rose said, detachable. So, you know, depending on what you're looking for on a day-to-day basis, you can rotate.
Oh, you can,
detachable.
So you could buy more than one.
Right.
Oh, so you make him into different. It's like different dates.
Right. Right. It doesn't feel like. Feels like you're, you know, getting out there, mixing it up a little bit.
Right, you don't have to. You know, you get bored, right? And
yeah,
you don't want to get bored. You want to say, this is the thing.
Yeah.
Now, the actual robot himself is probably $1,000. It's $9,000 for the accessory. That's how that goes.
That's how they get you, with the accessories.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, they have so many of these out there for men, right?
I mean, are there really?
The sex bots, yes. They're just, you read about.
Are we supposed to, what are we supposed to do with the sex bots?
Well,
come
you know
a long
what you're
way from just
do.
The inflatable doll. I mean,
right.
This is like
they feel human-like.
Well, they've come a long way from a lot of the other stuff before the doll, too. Like, why?
Well, yeah, but then, yeah.
You know?
Because now they have stuff. Because, you know, it used to be all mostly for the female. But now they've created that for men. You know
my
what I mean?
Face like permanently cringed from this conversation.
Yeah.
Hey, all I want to say is when the female sex bot becomes pregnant and is allowed to marry you. I mean, that's when
she becomes clingy. Can you return it?
Exactly. What happens?
Keep your receipt.
She won't leave. It's sort of like I'm going to put you back in the closet. No, you're not.
Well, what's wrong with this? She's a stage five clinger, sir. Yeah. I'm returning her.
What? Why do you have another bot? Is there another girl?
What's going to happen when the day some guy decides he wants to marry the female robot?
Oh, I think that's probably already happened.
Yeah.
I think we had that as a News or Ruse headline.
when you know, you know.
I think it was news.
But it's surprising that they didn't make the girl robot able to talk. Not. These guys don't want to talk.
Yeah, I get
ever.
It. Yeah, we get it. Yeah, thank you. No, we totally understand. And as a matter of fact, I thought it just went without saying when you said it.
Yeah. Well, because you weren't listening, probably.
Right, exactly. What'd she say?
I don't know.
Was she talking?
Yeah. All right. Anyway, the point is that...
This is creepy.
The AI thing is creepy. That's what everybody's really worried about. I mean, I'm worried about short-term things like the Bears going 8-8
uh-huh.
and the Mueller investigation.
This is a long-term
concern
issue.
Of mine that robots are going to take over the world and kill us.
Because it takes over the emotional connection, right? It takes the role of that as well.
I'll tell you what else takes out the emotional connection.
I know, it does that too. Yeah. All of it. All of the above.
Past relationships take out the emotional connection too. You might as I mean, you know, you get to a certain age, how connected could you possibly be? All right. Let's find David. What's going on in the newsroom at the top of the hour?
No word on any progress in the charter school strike in Chicago.